Welcome to our Core Christi monthly discussion. My name is Rachel Pachta, and I'm the Director of Ministry for the Missioners of Christ. This summer, Angela Whitehouse and Kate Harmeyer led our discussions on Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe. And in our final episode of this study, I'm joining Kate while Angela is on vacation with her family. In this episode, Kate and I chat about how the principles that Father Jacques Philippe taught us through this book have played out in our everyday lives, and most of all, how this study has deepened our awareness of how little we really are and how good and merciful our Father is. So without further ado, here's our final discussion on Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe. Let's see if this works. It could work. It may work.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
One hour later.
We're just hopping on right now to share our thoughts. It's just lived my whole morning, my whole lunch, and then I just popped on for this podcast.
We've had no issues at all with technology today.
The Lord was like, want to talk about peace?
I know. This has been a good lesson. You know what? It was funny. As I was reading today, I was thinking about the story of Jesus on the water with his disciples, and everything goes crazy, and he's asleep, and have that level of peace. And it was a section where it said, I think it was in part three, where he says, "Okay, it's on page 99. It's from Francois Marie Jacob Lieberman, and says, keep your soul at peace. It is the expression employed by our divine master. Your soul should always be enclosed in itself, or better, enclosed in Jesus, who dwells therein, not imprisoned or locked up under key, but in gentle repose, kept in Jesus, who holds it in his arms." And I immediately was recalled to the image of Jesus enclosed in the little room in the boat, and he's asleep, you know, and everything's going on, and we're like, Lord, do you not care? And but that the lesson was like, even in the midst of this physical chaos going on around you, in which you look like you might actually die right this very minute, to go back and repose, have your heart enclosed in the Lord. Anyway, so that's what I was thinking of. And it's so funny that like everything was going crazy. All of our tech was going crazy.
It was comical. It was comical. Then like your family started making smoothies, and then somebody needed to vacuum. And it was hilarious. But look at the next line. I love that section that you picked out. It says, effort and contention constrict the soul. Like how much effort.
I know.
But anyhow, so we're back. Part three.
Yay! I'm so excited that I get to tag along for this very last episode on Searching for and Maintaining Peace. It's been a really good book for me to read, so I'm excited I'm here. We miss Angela.
We miss you, Ange. But yes, it is good to kind of, you know, get the full Pod Squad trio.
Yeah.
Have touched this book with their voices.
Yes, it's so true. It's really fun. I'm excited too to get to unpack it a little bit, because this section two. So I've been reading along, like usually when we podcast, since we have to have it released on the first of the month of what everybody's reading that following month. So usually we're 1 month ahead on our reading, but I wasn't on that schedule over the summer. I was just reading along. So I just like listened to the podcast slash of this month, and then this month being July, and then have only been reading section two. So I just kind of sped through, not in a hasty way. Like I loved reading section three, but I got to kind of have a little retreat day almost of reading a lot. But I've been on section two. And so that was so powerful for me, especially right now. I mean, a lot of people can probably relate, but like post delivery hormones, and we haven't had a baby in our family for 6 years. So like third child is coming in, and he's a boy and he has a different temperament and I'm older and there's all of these things, kind of going on. And it's been like a little storm of sorts, a good storm, but it's been a little storm. And so it's great to get to reflect on this a little bit extra with you today. So I'm excited that I get to do this.
Me too. I'm
Talk about
excited
peace.
too.
Talk about peace.
And as we look at part three, which is where we are headed today, Ange and I, when we had recorded part two, part two was just huge, in terms of the proportion of the book and also in terms of the depth of the reflection. And we obviously set things into themes because we didn't think they could quite cover it all. And then you get to part three and it's just much smaller. It's very good, but it's just much smaller. So I thought for today, what we could do is look at part three and maybe look at some of the stuff that grabbed us from part three, but also reflect back over part two, part one, kind of the big takeaways from the book as reflected in our personal experience and spirituality over the summer, really, because we have all been in some funny moments over the summer. You having had a baby. My family's just gone through the 2 weeks of COVID crazy. June was like our travel month. We were all over the place. And then July is our COVID month, apparently. And so it's been this really kind of poignant pull on my heart that I'm noticing when I'm in frenzy and I'm noticing when my peace is threatened more. And being able to kind of intentionally turn my mind back to the battle I need to fight right now is for my peace, not with this external thing, not with the circumstance, but for my peace. So I also kind of just jotted down before we started, like the big takeaways for me from the whole of the book. Because part three, it's almost as if he's citing some of his sources, it's a lot of echoing of the insights in the book, but echoing it from the voice of some beautiful saints over time.
It felt like it was kind of proving the points, and I love at Father Jacques Philippe, and he does this in his other books too. He's really good about citing his sources, and like in this particular book, he gave it an entire section where he just like inserted the writings of these great saints to reiterate all of these points on peace. And because I think this because this is exactly how I would approach it. The first time reading through Interior, Searching for, and I was almost calling it the other book I was going to reference, but Searching for and Maintaining Peace. Sometimes, if somebody is really struggling with scrupulosity, as I have in the past, they might be thinking, yeah, that's all great, but I don't know that this is realistic. Like, haven't other saints been much more strict or harsh or whatever? And so then he provides this third section, which is like the doctors of the He raises the sails, Saint Teresa of Avila. We got some Padre Pio to round us out at the end, So, and they're in some ways even more dramatic about this peace of heart that the Lord calls us to. Than he has been. I mean, he's been very direct, but things like Saint Francis de Sales. I'm on page 90. You see, my daughter, the great architect of mercy. He converts our miseries into grace and makes salutary medicine for our souls from the venom of our iniquities. It's like, first of all, so beautifully spoken, but also the idea that our sins can be made into a medicine through his grace, is
Yes.
that the fruit of our sin can actually turn into a medicine. It's the beauty of divine mercy. So I loved this third section, but it is a reiteration of a lot of ideas that are in parts one and two as well.
Absolutely. And I think one of the big takeaways that comes out of what you just read there from Francis de Sales and comes out of Padre Pio at the end as well as kind of the closer is that Anything that causes us to lose our peace is not of the Lord. Anything, good thing, bad thing, including, hatred of our own sin and faults, something that is appropriate to be sorrowful over our faults, our failings, our mistakes, the times that, we do those things that we shouldn't do when we fall into sin. But that if we linger there, that is a tactic of the evil one to keep us there, to send us down into that spiral of despair. And so I find it just incredibly practically helpful to say and to look internally and say, I am not at peace right now. My mind is spiraling right now. I'm feeling, identify what are the feelings that you're feeling right now in your emotions and your soul and your mind. Like, what are the feelings that you're feeling right now? And to just take that step back and look at them almost from a, outside in sort of perspective and say, that is not of the Lord. Like, that is not the voice of the Lord that I'm hearing there. And to gently correct yourself and to bring yourself back.
I think so. Here's like a life application that I've had for this over these past couple of months that I've seen the Lord provide in a really real way. So going into like, here's an, introduction. I have two examples. Okay. Introduction of new child into the family, in the midst of a formula shortage, which in the beginning, after all of my kids, when I breastfeed them, but in the first like 2 to 3 weeks, I don't make enough milk. It's happened twice before. It was not a surprise to me when that happened this time around, like my newborn baby crying of hunger by nighttime kind of thing. And it happens every time. So it, with the last two kids, what I did was I just, during those weeks, I supplemented with formula. And then I would always be able to do whatever little trick or thing needed to be able to get my supply up. And then no problem. Like then I can go to exclusive breastfeeding. This time around, he was born, Nathaniel was born in the height of the formula shortage. So this is a really real need. This isn't like, oh, my emotions are going crazy today, but I'm better by the afternoon kind of thing. Like, let me just kind of get together, have a little prayer time. I mean, this is like my newborn child is screaming of hunger at 8 p.m. every night because my supply is down and I know that it will not be back up again until around midnight. So here and we don't have the option of formula. Like there is no formula at the store right now. So I can't go get that at the moment. I remember actually I was at Angela's house and I'm like I had hit rock bottom. I mean he was like 2 weeks old I think at that point, and she and her husband had made us this awesome dinner. And we were just coming over to relax. And I think Nathaniel cried like 90% of the
Oh.
time. Poor guy. And he was just so hungry. And we were trying to, she got out her old breast pump and we were trying to like try something different or try to make it work. And going through this whole thing. And it was later that night, as I'm holding Nathaniel, that I thought, okay. This is beyond me. I have no capability right now to bring about a fruitful solution on my own. Like I don't have a physical capability of making anything change, and there aren't a lot of options. And now this child was born on the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. We found out that we were pregnant with him while the traveling Blessed Mother statue of Our Lady of Fatima was at our house. I've struggled with infertility. Like I said before, like this is the first baby in 6 years. I've had miscarriages, like all of this stuff. And so I immediately just go to the Blessed Mother and I said, this is your child. This has always been your child. I have given him over to you. And I give him over to you now in this moment. Please feed him, like physically, please feed him. And sure enough, over the next couple of days, my supply increased to the point where I could physically feed him. And he has been fine ever since. And I have not had any issues. But there was a real peace that I had in my soul in knowing I don't have the option right now. And this wasn't resolved in this very moment when I asked for this to come through, but I have given him to the Blessed Mother. And it was a combination of like my supply just increasing in general, but then also like coming across the correct, foods for me to eat that were helping me much more than they have in the past or than I was able to find in the past. And so lots of things came together, and it was, but it was all in peace, and it wasn't like a frantic search anymore because it was all in the hands of the Lord. And so the second was this. I didn't continue, as any parent knows of multiple kids, like, you have a baby, but you still have other kids. And so like my girls continued to have parenting needs, lots of parenting needs over the summer. And there was one thing in particular, and it wasn't a problem. It was just that I wanted to be able to spend some special time with one of my girls who I really felt like I was losing touch with. Not in a really dramatic way, but just I felt like I needed just some time with her, and I did not have that available because of, I have three kids. And the next week they were supposed to go to camp, and that sweet girl got COVID. So she was home with me. She was home with me while the other one went off. And we were able to have a straight week, and she wasn't that sick. She didn't get it very badly. So we had the entire week just completely home together, and all of the needs that I had wanted to address and get to talk with her about and reflect on, I had given it over to the Lord, and I said, Lord, like, please help me. I'm not going to try to stress about this or worry about this parenting need on my own. I give it over to you because I don't know the solution to this. And like within a couple of days, answered, given, provided, it was really beautiful. And so, yeah, I think that this summer I've been more convicted on like the areas in which I find myself really weak. Even areas when I have fallen, I think, so much this summer into anger and irritation, way more than I have in the past. Because everything's been shaken up at home, so everyone's acting out, including myself. And so, but that even those moments are showing me a humility and dependence upon the Lord in a much more powerful way. And I think that this book has been like my spiritual director through that time. That I've needed to be reminded of not holding on to anything, any routine, any lifestyle of prayer that I had before as my anchor, but the Lord Himself as my anchor instead.
Well, and I think when you have a third child, I haven't done that yet. We'll see. You think you're old having one. We'll see how that would work. But that you do have this, there is a new frenzy that enters, but there's also this confidence of I've done this before. I know what I'm doing, but that confidence can maybe bring with it a little bit of like maybe could tend to pride of like, I know how to deal with babies. I know how to answer their needs. Oh, this happened before, but the Lord like gently reminded you in a way to trust Him to provide and not your own abilities to work out the equation of if I bounce him this way on this, across the house for this many hours, or if I eat this much oatmeal, I'll fix the problem. I'll fix the problem. No, he really wanted to say, like, let me be Nathaniel's father and let me be yours. And that is one of the lessons that I just keep getting hit with. It doesn't matter how many saints say it, how many times, Father Jacques-Philippe says it, is that the peace that we're seeking comes from the Lord's actions, like not our own. And the degree to which we get out of the way and surrender our own abilities and just place ourselves before Him and let Him work in His time, like particularly with our nothingness. Like that was one of my big takeaways, was that he delights in working from our nothingness. There was somewhere in here that, he created the world out of nothingness. He loves to create from nothingness, like that nothingness, like that's his preference as a father, is for us to entrust things to him and to release our own abilities and instead to just let him move. was it the readings today were the Potter, the
Hmm.
Gospel today? And I read a reflection. It was just so beautiful. You know, he tells, who is it, Jeremiah or someone, like, go down and to go to the potter's shed and just watch how he works, and I'll speak to you there. And he uses the image of the clay in the potter's hands, and that sometimes, you know, things don't come out quite the way that it's supposed to. And he, like, put, you know, smushes it back together and starts again and puts it back on the wheel again until it achieves its, you know, whatever it's meant to be. And that is what, you know, we are like in the hands of the Lord. And I think of myself as some stubborn dry clay sometimes, you know, that you have to relax into it almost, you know, like you have to make yourself pliant to his will, for him to be able to fashion out of it, out of you, what he wants for you. And it was just a very soothing image. One of the big things that I was calling to mind as you were talking, which, I mean, I got teared up there at a point during that story, to trust the God of today with tomorrow. So in the section with Francis de Sales on page 92, it says, "Do not think of what may happen tomorrow, because the same eternal Father who takes care of you today will take care of you tomorrow and forever. Either he will see that nothing bad happens to you, or if he allows anything bad to happen to you, he will give you the invincible courage to bear it." To trust the God of today with your tomorrow and to look at his faithfulness over the course of your personal history. That's a huge takeaway for me in this book, to continually reflect maybe backwards as I worry about what's coming forwards.
Well, and if you like at that next, I feel like we could just sit here and read St. Francis of Sales the whole time, but
Maybe.
that next paragraph, remain at peace, my daughter. Remove from your imagination whatever may upset you and say frequently to our Lord, oh God, you are my God, and I will trust in you. You will help me. You will be my refuge, and there is nothing I will fear because not only are you with me, but also you are in me and I in you. What does a child in the arms of such a father have to fear? Like that, there's so many times over this summer that things have seemed to kind of spin out of control. Like day to day, there is no predictability. As much as this phlegmatic person has tried to insert routine upon my family, summertime is not the time in which that is the most conducive thing. And while sure, like I can make efforts to get towards that, it's not like I'm, trying to just wing it and just let everything be like free and flowing. But I don't want to make this a motherhood podcast because I know there's a lot of women who listen to this who either their kids are totally grown or they are, single. So like, I don't want this to be like, wow, let's just tick off the box because I feel like it's applicable in so many ways. But even down to dilemmas that I will have between arguments with my kids, my two older girls, Nathaniel isn't really arguing with anyone at this moment. But
Only at
it
8 p.m.
also, I can't really foresee them arguing with him in the future because he's like the apple of their eye. Nothing could be wrong with this special child of theirs. It's like their child as well. But the two of them arguing, that over this particular summer, an issue will arise. And I think to myself, there is probably some expert reaction to this outburst at the moment or this argument between these girls. And I could listen to every psychologist on how to, respond to this perfectly, but I don't have that right knowledge right now. And the Lord has given me these children, and He knows all of my weaknesses, and He knows everything that I am, and so He's gonna pull us through this, and that it's okay. I mean, I think in our culture right now, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have it right because we're a real self-help culture. And I'm not discrediting, like, this is the person who had major healing happen in the context of going to a counselor. Okay. So like, I'm not at all discrediting, how wonderful it is to have a lot of self-knowledge and about, issues that we might have. But there's a whole lot of theory out there There's a whole lot of advice out there that I think that we put up pressure on ourselves to be perfect, perfectly react to any situation, or have every secular psychological explanation for the whatever's going on inside of me right now, Whereas then we can lose, we put pressure on ourselves to somehow counsel ourselves into becoming perfect or whole, when really the only answer to that is the Lord. He gives us these tools and it's wonderful, but it should never come outside of the context. And sorry, I'm just on the soapbox right now, but it should never come out of context of complete and total surrender and peace in the Lord. He brings his healing through people, but it always comes from him as the source.
Oh,
And
yeah.
recognition too of like of our weakness, and that he uses our weakness to come back and remember, like, hey, I'm not perfect. And the only wholeness that I'm gonna find is ultimately when I die and I'm with him in the heart of the Trinity. But that this weakness itself can be a source of comfort
Yeah.
because he's gonna use it to remind me that I
Absolutely.
totally rely on him.
And we need the awareness of our insufficiency. Like we need that awareness. Like that is not something that, oh shucks, darn, I'm reminded again. No, it's a gift. It's a gift to be reminded of our faults, to be aware of what we can't do. Because the longer we go on our own sort of doing or our own action, the longer we're not relying on the Father that wants to take care of us and building ourselves into an idol, like building our own abilities into an idol and not turning to him. I mean, it's almost like we turn to him to say, like, hey, look what I did. And so those things can come up in your motherhood. Those things can come up in like whatever it is that you Google at after 11 p.m. Like, how to whatever. And we've all got it, whether it's how to deal with aging parents, how to find a husband, how to know if he's the right guy, how to, like, I don't know, how to put together the cutest outfit for Saturday night, like whatever it is, it's whatever you Google after 11 is oftentimes, yes, the Lord can use this wealth of information that we now have available to us through experts and resources, but it all has to be in submission to him. Like he has to be the first one that we look to heal us in all the different ways that we need healing. And the more that we're aware of our own insufficiency, the more that we can allow him to be the active force in our lives. One of the big questions I wrote down, like an introspective question, is, like what peace are we seeking? And I think it was in part one. Like you have to continually sort of ask yourself, like, what is my definition of peace? Like, yes, I want it, but am I claiming peace as just the absence of discomfort, the absence of disquietude, like in my relationships, like the absence of conflict? Is it the absence of physical need, or the absence of emotional turmoil? Like, what am I looking for? A piece of circumstances or the peace of Jesus, which radiated from a cross? That gaze between the Blessed Mother and the Lord, and that for me is just like, this is what you're looking for, is the peace that can exist between your eyes and his in the midst of that storm, in the midst of nothing making sense as you would have it, yet maintaining that peace there. Because the true foundation of peace, one of the saints talked about it being built like a house, right? Constructed by the Lord with humility as its foundation. Like the foundation of a house of peace is humility and submission. And that's what turns into true charity. So what peace are we seeking? What am I looking for when I say I'm looking for peace? Am I looking for my circumstances to be smooth? Or am I looking to respond to this broken world the way he would? With a radical trust in the Father, who is a potter, who is, you know, always going to request our permission to make us into the instrument he wants us to be.
You know, it's, I don't know if this is the Holy Spirit kind of pointing this out, and this is a really vulnerable moment for me, but I feel like it definitely applies, and maybe there's people who are listening to this who have the same struggle. So one thing that has been for me an area in which I have tried to take up on my own for my own purposes. I've tried to issue control over it outside of the Lord is getting my body back after having a baby. I'm still in maternity clothes. And it's so hot outside, and I just want to wear shorts. And I'm like, I can't wear these hot leggings anymore. I'm uncomfortable. Also, just a body image issue of like wanting to have control over, I'm using quotations, physical fitness of my body. And that can be a very delicate line to walk. And what I'm realizing too, as you're sitting here and talking about submitting everything to the Lord, I'm like, I don't think I'm submitting that to the Lord right now. If like, and this is a question to ask, even those listening, like my whole physical health, like my, you know, my journey, my choices to exercise, my choices to, or choices of eating, choices of whatever, it have I given that over to the Lord? Because even the idea of giving it over to the Lord right now is giving me a peace that I have not had this week. It's good. It's fruitful because it's like, yeah, I could give it all to him and let him guide that process versus me trying to take it into my own hands with my own solutions.
Yeah.
Which can, you know, in vanity. I don't know where else that goes other than vanity. So
it's like the root, like, okay, as you read this book, the root of all of our, I don't know, frenzy is pride. The only thing we should be disappointed in ourselves with, like, is our pride. Because every single time we do this, it's for that. Every single time, you know, I think of I struggle with pride in wanting to produce good things for Jesus, you know, working in ministry, you know, wanting the package to look good because it's representing him. But is it representing him or is it representing me? And like, that's my ministry. So you can take this and put it anywhere. Like, that's my ministry. You can, with your body, like, you want your body to look a certain way.
Right.
Because why? Like, because why? Is it for function? Is it for, you know, knowing that you're a temple and that you should glorify the Lord with your body and take care of it because it's a gift? But right now, like, your body's job is to continue to keep another human alive.
Right.
And that is the highest function of our bodies, truthfully, as women, right? Like, we're all in some form honoring life with the way that we use our bodies, right? Like, we're all called to that, whatever our state in life is, it's to be, I don't know, for others in the ways that we comport ourselves, the ways that we carry ourselves, the ways that our bodies can literally support life and all of that. The Blessed Mother is that beautiful example, right? Like, she gave over her body. We don't know exactly how old she was, but she wasn't old, you know, and didn't probably know a ton of what that was going to look like long term. And her heart was pierced with a million sorrows at the same time. There's a physical sorrow that comes with, you know, seeing your child hurt. And so it is this really big call to submission. I think that is one of the most difficult ones we face as women, especially as we just have to give the control up, not just work harder to get a product.
And it's not to discredit the decision to make healthy choices, right? Or you know, the wonderful benefits of exercise. Like, that's not to say, okay, well, so therefore forget all that.
Cheeseburgers and
context,
Jesus.
right?
That's it.
Cheeseburgers and Jesus is all you need, y'all. No, but the thought, but that being said, like, and tuning out the world's voice on those matters, and only looking at the Lord. Only looking at the Lord, surrendering all of that and putting that all into his hands. I'm gonna breast feed while we're talking here. Speaking of, hey,
This
I'll
is
take him and
perfect.
feed him. I'll take him and feed him.
Oh, buddy, wait. Oh. This is great. This is the podcast. Maintain peace. Maintain it. Search for it
Any
and maintain it.
situation. Hang on one sec. I'm just gonna just do a little
But
bit of
okay. So even if
this.
you cut
Okay,
a lot of
so
that, we just had a break for you to do what the Lord wants you to do with your body right now.
speaking of,
Speaking
it is
of,
feeding
it is feeding time. The Lord interjected himself into this podcast about him, submitting to him, and said,
Yes.
and Rachel, let me just put an exclamation at the end of that insight you just had,
Yeah.
that you are
And
never more beautiful than at this very moment.
Mom, can you see my notebook I
it's
was
somewhere in
using?
here. Okay, but then we need to keep going here. Okay, keep it. Kate, you're
Yes.
leading this
Yeah.
ship.
I got it. I got it. Okay. So, as we look at big takeaways, two things. Well, one that just came up, and I talked about it last episode, but in light of the things that we've been sharing here, that one of the lines that just continues to come up in my head is a great one-liner, is perfectionism doesn't have much to do with sanctity. And
Yeah.
that the great saints are never disturbed by their faults being pointed out to them, but rather they rejoice in them, you know? And that one of the big things I need to work on, probably maybe number one, is like not to hurry. I have that written all over my notes, like no hurry. There's so many different points in part three and in the other parts where different saints and Father Jacques-Philippe just continually remind us that, like, in discernment, don't hurry. In your day-to-day actions, don't hurry, because like the Lord does not exist in that anxious, frenzied, rushing sort of thing. Like, he was incredibly interruptible when he was on earth. He gave the person in front of him like all of his attention and all of his I don't know, focus. Whereas I tend towards, the multitasking mindset, the always like reminding myself what's next on my schedule sort of mindset, as well as the mindset, I realize that this is also a fruit of that problem in me, and that hurried problem that I have, is that I get really frustrated when I make the same mistakes, because it's like I want to hurry my growth in virtue. And I would really like to hurry other people's growth and virtue as well. Like, I would really like that. I'd really like everyone else to be farther along than they are. And that patience, in the Lord's guidance of my growth towards him, others' growth, like, he's being patient with where they are right now. Who am I to not be? That reminder to not hurry in so many different areas has just been a very timely one, and one that has been for me just very, very helpful in terms of, like, in the course of my day, when I can feel myself start to amp up in terms of, I have to do X, Y, and Z, or we have to get here, or all of those things. And there have been so many times in my life when I reflect now and I look back that the Lord was, by the circumstances of my life, like slowing me down when I couldn't slow myself down. Like, even if I think of the summer and all of the plans that we had, and we had lots of little vacations scheduled because I needed to use my vacation time, and I was hurriedly going through an awesome summer for my kids, but maybe out of some guilt over working a lot during the school year, like I had hurriedly prepared this wonderful relaxing summer, and it was a lot of travel and it was a lot of good things. And in the midst of all of it, there was just this great pause, you know, of we got COVID. You have to go home now. Like on day one of our vacation, you have to go home now and do this together. And so it was a, it's hard to say you're happy that you caught COVID, you're not happy you caught COVID, you're kind of happy that maybe you're done with it for a while, but
it
is something that he has used to remind me that the people in front of me are far more important than anything that I'm going to accomplish for them. You know, just the time with them is what he desires for me to do right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's little by little. It's like a Poco a Poco. That's, I keep saying that over and over in my head. My favorite podcast. It's Poco a Poco podcast from the Friars. Same. And I mean, now it's even more amazing because I can watch it. It's like the one TV show I watch every week. Now I just put it on while I'm folding laundry. It is the show I watch. And but that phrase, I think that over and over again, Poco a Poco, Poco, little by little by little. And I thought today, man, like we just are moving little by little by little by little, and then all of a sudden he's just gonna take us and that's it. And he just takes us into himself. And as you're talking and you're sharing about like the idea of like kind of putting everything together and like, oh, the struggle that we all have of like wanting others to be further along and wanting ourselves to be further along and wanting to like do something beautiful for the Lord and all of those desires. I mean, the thing is, and he talks about this, like the desire for others to be far along in holiness is a good desire. The desire for ourselves to be far along in holiness is a good desire. The desire to do good things for him is a good desire. But it's just always the manner in which that desire takes place. Like I love how he just kind of lays out, and this is still definitely in part two, where he's like, if it happens in a way that is causing us irritation, that it is not therefore from him. That it, and so I think honestly, one of the perfect saint combos of this is Saint Zelie plus Leonie, who is the only other Martin child right now whose cause for canonization is underway, who happened to be the problem child of the family. slash St. Louis, St. and St. Therese, like that whole, the whole Martin family, because Kate, have you ever read any of Zelie's letters before? Okay. And I don't want to repeat myself too much because we had a year ago, actually, exactly. We were doing the Context of Holiness. We talked a lot about Zelie, but I mean, in her letters, like she very much just lived the little way. And that's definitely where I would say on a human level, St. Therese was kind of taking it from, was just like the life of her family. Because, I mean, Zelie would say things like, the maid had to leave to visit her family for the last 3 days, and I am stuck by myself in this house with these kids, and I am literally going crazy. Like, things that we text to our friends all the time, where it's like, And we don't have maids, you guys. Like, but she was like relying on that maid. She's like, hey, she's gone. My help is gone. I'm going crazy. and you know, she refers to Lani, who was a really difficult child for her, and had a lot of difficulties in her life in general. Lani did. But she was so surrendered to the Lord, and she would say things like, well, if God is happy, then I am happy because I know and I see all of my weaknesses. I mean, when we talk about weaknesses, like she got kicked out of school because she kept hitting kids, like as a 10-year-old, not as like a 5-year-old fighting kids in daycare. Like she had a lot of issues in Zelie. Said, you know, this child, if all of this sickness and all of this, you know, the breast cancer that I'm going to die from, and we all know I'm going to die from it, I'm offering this all up for this child who is, quote, covered in faults like a blanket. That if she can go to heaven, if she can because Lainey really wanted a religious vocation, and she and Zelda would be like, if there's one child that does not have a religious vocation, it would be this one. She was like, but if she so wants a vocation, I will offer all of this up for her. And Therese would pray for Lainey and say, oh, Jesus, I ask you. She wants this so badly. So if she does not have a vocation, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and give it to her. So
just do me a solid.
Yeah, and this is literally her words. She's like, if she doesn't, Lord, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and give her one. Because she wants to enter so badly. But you know what's so awesome? She didn't enter the Carmelites like the rest of her sisters. She entered the Visitation Nuns, which is the order founded by St. Francis de Sales. Mm. Because he was the patron saint of gentleness, and he wanted an order that those who were the weakest, those who needed the most patience with themselves, would be able to survive in a religious vocation. If they didn't have as many penances, they didn't have as stringent of a life as the Carmelites, because they wanted to be an order of gentleness. And so that was the one that we needed. And this is the saint that we're reading in this third section on peace and gentleness of heart. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of all of those interruptions that we just had of that section, hopefully something.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did. Because we know so well that this is not of our doing, any fruit
yes.
that
comes from this.
But I thought a section that was really interesting and speaks to that, especially when we talk about the poco a poco, the little way, all of that is where Francois Marie Jacob Lieberman mm-hmm. said something about, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. And don't rush ahead of your guide on your mm-hmm. path of virtue. That, you know, oftentimes we charge literally ahead of where the Holy Spirit is leading us, and then thereby lose our way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little by little. And even I can, when you're talking about Poco a Poco, and I do love that podcast as well. I was listening to that before we got on here.
Yeah.
But that, even in Poco a Poco, you can get frustrated when you see it's not a steady progress.
Mm.
You know that sometimes you took a step exactly. back, or you fell down, or something happened that really yeah. derailed you, or you did rush ahead of your guide and now you're lost and you have to go back and start over. You know, C.S. Lewis, I think it was in The Great Divorce, says something about the fact that, you know, if you go down the wrong path, you don't like just cut over through the woods to the right one and continue on. You yeah. have to go back to where you strayed off the path and start down the right one again.
Mm-hmm.
And so a great encouragement in this book is to reflect on that gentleness and the mercy of the Lord. There was a yeah. section, I think in the same one, where he talks about, you know, it's offensive to the Lord who is so kind and gentle to us for us to fear him.
Mm.
In a, you know, in that inappropriately fearful way, not fear of the Lord that is our virtue, but to fear his judgment on us because he is so faithfully working on us.
Mm.
And for us to just kind of say like, oh, I'll be beyond his help, or I've screwed up so much that he cannot possibly you know, want to continue with me.
Right. Well, and I always, you know, I think in the past and still now I need this reminder. I love the constant reminders in here from Father Jacques, and then also from the other great saints that he mentions in the third section, on how when sometimes the Lord, we can be, you know, cruising down, you know, relationship with the Lord for a long time, and then all of a sudden we just face plant, you know, and maybe sometimes even people fear that of like, oh gosh, I'm just beyond help, like I'm just gonna face plant and then I'm gonna be far apart from the Lord and there's nothing to help me. And the thing is that sometimes he gives that to us as a gift. He allows it. He doesn't cause temptation. It's a good clarification to make, is that Jesus never causes temptation. He never participates in evil. But what does happen is there's times when maybe he allows us, you know, he sees in us that there is this tendency of pride. And we need to see it. And there's no way that we're going to be able to see it unless maybe he allows us to step in it, you know, to step in mm-hmm. some trouble and to step in maybe, you know, some just bad stuff, like, you know, like losing our temper with our kids, finding ourselves causing, you know, it's maybe uttering some serious detraction about someone, or maybe getting caught or exposed in an area where we've really messed up, and we really need to go to confession, and we really need to be honest with the Lord about some weaknesses we've had. The thing is, like, that is a really amazing reminder of our nothingness, and that can be a mercy that he has allowed us to sin, so that way we know that we are nothing, and it prevents us from the ultimate sin that Lucifer committed, which is the mm-hmm. sin of pride and thinking that mm-hmm. he's perfect, mm-hmm. and that it can be actually in filling of the diaper. It can be an amazing reminder of the fact that we are constantly in need of his mercy, and that we can become littler and littler and poorer and poorer and poorer in our own eyes, and recognize that we are nothing. Like St. Faustina would say, we are misery itself. but what is amazing is that we can then fall more in love with the Lord, because we see that he is lifting out his fatherly arms to us in mercy. And, yeah. and like Saint Therese, I mean, it's not just rhetoric when she talks about, like, I just want to be really, really small, because then that means my father is going to pull me to himself. And I had that moment today of sitting here and thinking, I mean, I have had a week. I have had a week of weakness and of a lot of faults rearing their heads in me, honestly hurting people and saying things and omitting things that are not good. In all honesty, as I was reading this book, I thought, oh Lord, I don't want to sin. You know, like I'm going to sit here and I'm going to go through this exercise that he said at the very end of the Edict from Spiritual Warfare. It's like, I'm going to imagine it. I see that I have caused you pain. Please don't let me cause you pain anymore. But I'm falling more in love with you now, because I see that you are holding me so close to your heart right now in your mercy, and that you're going to pick me up from the mess I've made and bring me to yourself. And that yes. is, thank you. And that is what it is all about.
Is, yeah. And that he will make medicine out of the venom. Right. Mm-hmm. Out of the venom that we give him, mm-hmm. he will make medicine out of it to be used for his glorification, for his work in us. You know, that despite the fact, like you said, we are misery itself. Nevertheless, he sent his only son to die for our sins.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just it's beautiful. And so I think that this book has been right on time for me, and it sounds like for you.
For me, yes.
I'm hoping and praying that it has been for others. This summer is what I thought was going to be you told me it's just a short little, it's just a light read.
It's just a little light read. It's an easy read.
And I'm like, it's been tearing open every scar of my life and exposing it to the light. It's just a light read. But it was right on time. And I'm so grateful for having made myself finally read this book.
And if you are feeling like, I think it's Saint Teresa of Avila, where she's saying, I've got a baby in my arms right now, so I can't grab the book, but where she says, and sometimes along the path, he will, or maybe this is Saint Francis de Sales, where he says, he will fillet the heart open so that we're extremely angry and irritable. That's okay, because that is his work in us in the moment.
Oh, like, and that's okay.
Oh my gosh. Yes. This is exactly it. And Lord, you are bringing me to yourself in your merciful heart. And he's going to heal the wounds, and he's going to make the antidote to the venom of my sins. And that is so comforting. Amen. So we can even have peace in these moments. Thank you, Kate, for leading me through this time of spiritual direction.
No, it was fun.
Such
I'm
a
not
fruitful
going
conversation
to
to have with you, and a good reminder. And oh goodness, I'm gonna go edit this. I hope I was somehow
Oh
helpful
man.
to this book study.
Somehow by that, like, it will be the action of the Lord, because otherwise
This has been quite a couple of hours of the
really
planned
has
45 minutes.
It's been so great. It's gonna be so great. I gotta go figure out
yeah.
what my kids have been doing during this entire time. It's been so quiet.
And for the sake of me being able to communicate to everybody clearly what is the next book and all of that, stay tuned after we say goodbye now, and I'm going to have a little excerpt to describe what our next book study is. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you. Have a good one,
And
everyone.
thanks, Angela, who is not with us, but thank you for leading us so wonderfully as well through this book study. So until then, till next month, God bless. Thanks so much for joining us for our summer sessions as we talked about Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe. We'll kick off our next study in September on The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. This is a highly anticipated study. I know that we've talked about it in Core Christi circles. We've even mentioned this book on previous studies and how it's even applied to other books that we've gone through. So we're really excited to get to bring this book to the forefront and talk about it. We're going to study this for September and October. We're so pumped for Kate Harmeyer to join us again. We hope to see you next month. Can't wait.